What a grace to be able to look to the first verses of Luke 4. As we are approaching Christmas and we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, two events at the same time. And that is what Luke actually is trying to do. He's introducing to us Jesus, who will be born and who will live and teach and who will save and who will die and rise and promise his return. And so what he is doing basically is asking this question: who is Jesus to you this morning? As he was asking this to his readers that time. So the Jesus he is introducing, he wanted to be really completely certain that the Jesus these people have believed is the true Jesus, is the historical Jesus that comes from God. I got a quote from a man by name Jared C. Wilson, a Baptist pastor and an assistant professor of a pastoral ministry at a Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City. He says this: if you will have Jesus on your own terms, it is not Jesus that you have, but an idol. Because the Jesus, the real Jesus you need to know, or the Jesus you have, must be the Jesus of God, must be the one who has come from heaven. The gospel is about God's action in history through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what we have in the gospel is God's heart for the entire world by sending his only begotten son so that the world could be saved through him. And we live really in dark times. Dark times where we are, this is called pluralistic society, where all the religions are the marketplace, and so we are called to just pick one. So with no evidences whether this is truly from the living God, the God of the creation himself, who against whom we have sinned, and we have seen this destruction in this world, sin and brokenness and killing and sin and corruption of heart. So we see that Luke wanted to make sure that we have the right Jesus, as he wanted his readers, those who love God, those who believed in him, to know this. And if you hear the words of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he said, this child, his son, who was going to be born, he was going to go ahead of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ is coming to save. And this is what he says in Luke 1, verse starting from 78. You could start from 76 as he was describing his son that is to be born. He says this: and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. You will go before Jesus to prepare the way for him. Because in this way, as Jesus comes, he will give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God. That is what Luke is trying to bring to us. This salvation comes to us because God loves us so much. He wouldn't want us to live in sin. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace, path of freedom. That is what Jesus was coming to do. Jesus was, because God loves us, he created us. In the creation, he said it was good, isn't it? But when he comes to create you and I, he said it was good. And so he cannot allow his greatest creation to be lost in sin and in darkness. But he wanted to save us. So now Luke is saying that he is going to present to us this gospel. And this gospel is reliable, is authentic, is the gospel that can bring salvation. And the reasons he thinks that it is trustworthy and is authentic is because it's not his own gospel. It's not his, it's God's. And this is what he says. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, or things that you have been certain about. So he is just referring to many others who have really investigated the events of the birth of Jesus to bring to us an account that can truly describe Jesus to us. So this is what he says. He says it's a very reliable one. It is not my own. Many people have written already an account of things which have been fulfilled in their midst. So they were certain. They have investigated everything. So he is not reinventing a new gospel. He is revisiting historic events about one and unique person, Jesus Christ. In the entire history, from eternity to eternity, because his beginnings are from God, and he is God himself. He was just responding to the call of God himself to undertake this task. Why someone would want to do this? And his account will prevail, will stand the test of all the historical documents that were written. You remember, he says, many have done this. So there might have been like hundreds of people who were looking into all the materials and all the stories that were written, even by the testimonies of contemporaries, people who were real human beings who were there. And so his gospel really, because was from God, and God used him mightily. And look at a training, you see, as a medical doctor. And you know, I'm not a doctor, but maybe we have few doctors here. As a doctor, you need to have the right understanding on how God has put together the body of human beings, or even the body of the things that you are going to interact with, animals, like being a vet. We've got a veterinary surgeon here. So even when these animals are brought to him, so he knows where to go, isn't it? And how the body is put together by the Creator. And so God was, this guy, he was just like doing that. He was going to use his training. Also, he was a historian. And historian follows strict methods in gathering historical materials. And so he was relevant to his time. You see, he was just doing a careful work under the Holy Spirit. Luke was also a traveler. You see, he had interest in traveling. And when you travel a lot, you speak to people, isn't it? They tell you a lot of histories. You see, and no wonder why he became a companion of Apostle Paul. And it is likely that he got converted as he was interested to really work with this guy. People say maybe he was saved during the second missionary endeavor. So he was with Apostle Paul. You know, who is Apostle Paul? He was a philosopher. He was a great rabbi. He was a theologian. And so Luke walking with this man. This is not just Apostle Paul, who is a theologian and also a great learner, a philosopher, but also he encountered Christ himself, the risen Savior, on the way to Damascus. So he is with the right person. And so Luke himself, he got all the blessings, you see, and that will allow him to prevail and to go ahead of all the friends. But let me put the emphasis most and for all that he was in the hand of the mighty God, because the gospel is written. You see, it's from God, through men and led by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. And so Luke was able to do that and to write an orderly account. So he, even though he was a Gentile, but he had interest in those things. As a learned man, he wanted really to use his skills so that maybe he felt in his heart that he might bring out the true account that will represent what real God has done in human history. So I would say he was a formidable historian. And also he will use the discernment from the Holy Spirit on how to arrange his materials. Because you can have the full history and you can rearrange it in a way that is so can capture exactly what God wants to say. And so that we believe something that is so intact, and no one can move us right or left, and he will tell us later on the purpose for his writing. I gave you this account of that we might have confidence in his book. This man, he was not just only a learned man, but also he has a quest. He was a sinner, and he needed really to investigate these things also for himself, that he might also believe. He's not just a learned, and you will see that he will be engaged, and he will write the second volume. He will write the Acts of Apostle, the Acts of God, this risen Savior, what he began, and now he is continuing through his followers. Apostle then, even us who are sitting here today, we are following in the footsteps of all these ones who have received this. They pass it on to us, our historical gospel ever. So he was not writing because those people, they were fault in the things that they have written, but he tried that. Maybe he was invited. I said, people knew that he was a historian, and he was, so maybe just join the group. You see, but come and let us do a bit of research anyway. That is an introduction. So look in this. He will present to us Jesus as the Savior of the whole world. Your Savior, my Savior. So many people have said this. I just want to skip some of what other people have said. But let me just press on to show you why this gospel is reliable and trustworthy. So first I said it was not his own. He was not inventing it. So it's not for him. It's not from him. It's from God. And so secondly, it's a reliable account because the materials he is investigating, they were from the eyewitnesses. This is what he says. So he said, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. And so why it is authentic? Because those who gave him all these information, they were there from the very beginning. They were there. These historical materials come from the very people who were present when the gospel was unfolding, when Jesus was moving among them, even when they were hearing the prophecies about the birth of John the Baptist, from the immediate prophecy about the birth of John the Baptist to the cross, all the way to the cross. So those reliable eyewitnesses include Jesus' disciples who did not just only running around and walking with Jesus. They heard him. They heard God declaring the arrival of his salvation through Jesus. So they heard that. So no one else, they heard that themselves. Not only they heard, but also they have seen with their own eyes. You see? So I'm persuaded to always, I say, I watched a drama many years ago about an Egyptian. He was the greatest, comic in the country. He made a play called A Witness Who Hasn't Seen Anything. You see? So he was called into the courtrooms, and then when he was asked to tell his version, he said he didn't see anything. You see, so these disciples, they did not only hear, but also they saw with their own eyes. They saw the real person. They saw Jesus himself. They heard God speaking. They heard God speaking. This is what happened. Apostle John says this, that which was from the very beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. So they were there. You see, in the book of Matthew, we see the at the Mount of Transfigurations, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. The disciples, they saw that. That was supernatural. And these are the things that Luke is hearing from these people. You see, eyewitnesses who were there, who were present. History is very important, friends. If there is a missing information, so you struggle a little bit, isn't it? Well, I'm so hesitant to tell you there was just something, a historical fact I needed to know, actually, that was so central to my life. But nowhere that I could find that. And I was just praying about this. Well, you know South Sudan, the war in South Sudan, this didn't happen yesterday, isn't it? It has been going on for centuries. So my father was a primary school teacher. So we were born, obviously, in cities. We had birth certificates. But somewhere there, we lost them. Because actually, people were running for their lives. And my dad passed away in 1992. So I couldn't take hold of my birth certificate. You see, and somehow I didn't know exact date. Just imagine you don't know the day on which you came into this beautiful world of your God. Can bother you to the grave, isn't it? So what happened was I was just like praying, and I'm praying all the time, and I was just thinking, because I know the year I was born, but I didn't know the date. So thankfully, in 1988, so I just had an estimated birth certificate that I used, 1/1/1969. You see, so, well, I was just, I said to myself, even I need to take a DNA so that I may know that. Just imagine, like, doing research. So even this is seemed to be nothing, you see. But how about the gospel? You see, how important it was for these people, what they were believing. Because it's death and life. If your salvation is hung up, really, in the air, if it's not based on the true revelation of God himself. So you can't walk around with confidence that you have been truly redeemed and saved and you are going to heaven. And that is, there is no sin that will appear before God. You see, as you believe in the gospel, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How can you be confident with this if the truth was not based on that? Well, look, so what happens last Sunday after the church here, we were driving with my kids. My daughter said to me, because some of you have heard that we might be going to mission sometimes next year. So going to the Middle East world and Africa world. So my daughter said to me that I would like us to leave around the January 2026. And I said, why? She said she got a friend who is celebrating her birthday just around that time when she turned 15. I said, wow, what a birthday. You see, I said, I wish I knew my birthday. You see, birthday, you see. And then they all say, oh, don't you know? And I said, well, I know the year, but I don't know the day and the month. So we got home, just relaxed. So I came back to preach in the evening. Then after that, I went back. And here my younger brother, who is nearly 50 as well, was at my house. He had dinner with my family, and he was sitting there. And as we were sitting there, he said to me, what? I do have your original birth certificate. I said, what? Are you kidding? Do you want to know? I leave you. Well, look, men always disclose their birthdays. Maybe I like the other sisters, you know? Yeah. And then my brother said to me, I know it even from the top of my mind. What? The 28th of October, 1968. So the estimation really did a good job. So only 2 months, you know, apart. Wow, how about that? How thankful you think I might be? And that really rang the bell for me why I'm so associated with the number 8. You see, all the way from my study, all my marks and things like that, I would just, number 8 is always there. And to me, I was so fascinated to know why. You see, so here, historical facts matter so much. And that is what really this man is saying. These apostles, they were there. They saw the face of Christ shining. He must be from heaven. And his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus about his departure from the world. You see, the heavens was engaging. So also Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here so that here they can tell a reliable story to every person. It was good. He was just speaking without knowledge, really. These words will mean a lot. You see, it was really good that Peter was there to see it with his own eyes, that he might really pass on a true historical, really event. He can tell it to us, and we can be confident with this, that he was there and he saw our Savior. He was a real human being who had really God and man who walked on earth. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, God himself is speaking, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Let the world hear his voice." If you have heard his voice calling you, and you gave your life to him, and then you are saved. So the world in which we live is so bad. So here Peter also introducing himself to his readers in his first letter as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering. He witnessed what was happening to his Lord himself. And as one who shares in the glory that will be revealed, they were there. They were fishermen. They were empowered with the Holy Spirit. They turned the world upside down. They were eyewitnesses affirmed by Jesus himself. So when Jesus was speaking and telling them that I will send you a Holy Spirit, he said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." So it's Jesus himself who really raised them up to be eyewitnesses, so that their testimony can be authentic. Do you see why the gospel we have is so important, that it must be historical, must be real, must be based on real events that God himself was involved in? Lest you have someone else speaking to you, and it's not God. Here, this is what he says. And Luke in verse 3 is saying, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account to you." So what is written here is to you. And this person he was writing to, his name was Theophilus. And this was Theophilao, the lover of God. And so today, it is not in vain, friends, that we hear this again. Because we love the Lord God ourselves. And we need the assurance that the things that we have been taught are true. That is what he will say, the purpose of his writing in verse 4. He's writing, he's doing all these things. He's investigating, he's just gathering all these materials from the true eyewitnesses, traveling around, gathering all this information so that we might be certain, we who love the Lord God, who have been taught these things. This is for the assurance. This must be impressed on your heart, lest you lose sight of who you are and what you have been called to embrace and to believe. And the Lord has loved you so much, and that he would send his Son to die for you. And this is a reality. And this death of Jesus Christ is not just like something we embrace with our minds. This has affected our lives, has changed us, our morals. You see, our worldview, the way we live and to whom we live, and how we serve and we go about our daily basis, how we interact with others, and how we live our lives. This is what he is saying. It's a trustworthy gospel because it has a great purpose. And this so that you who is sitting here today might be certain of the things you have believed. Because some of us here have been believers for how long? Just imagine you might go to a point where I heard a lot of people saying, "Oh, I changed my faith." Like they gave up on faith. I met a lot of people. I can say I'm an eyewitness. I am an eyewitness because I spoke to many people who have lost their faith. They say, "My wife died and I lost it altogether." But how about if she died in the Lord? She's in heaven. Because Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, even if they die, they shall rise. They live again. You see? For God so loved the world, so that whoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Do you believe these things? Are you certain about these things? Well, Luke is saying, you have to have great confidence in your faith. Because your faith is based on real Jesus, the real Son of God. And he never lies. You saw his life. You saw his ministry. His words. No one, even his enemies, could find fault with him. The only two accusations were brought against him was like just out of frustration. You see, in the civil court, they said, oh, yeah, he claims to be king. Yeah, truly, he was going to be crowned king of the hearts of many people. People will just live their life for him, will surrender, will sacrifice, will die, will sell themselves out as a slave so that they can take this good news to everywhere. People who will know the life of God in their lives, reaching to their bones, their nerves, their affections and everything. Leading someone like me to be here today, something I wouldn't have thought of 50, 60 years ago, you may say. That you might have great confidence in the things you have been taught. So that you can be completely certain about your salvation. Some people, they say, I don't know whether I am saved. Well, if you don't know whether you have been saved, and then you need to check what gospel are you reading from. Because the gospel Luke is presenting here, if you believe what he says, it is true. Because he's saying there is no other name, isn't it, by which we can be saved. Just only the name of Jesus. And he told us the whole history from his birth of a Virgin Mary. You see, virgin birth. So if I can just go, sketch the virgin birth. And also his fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And also the power he demonstrated in casting demons and raising people from the dead. You see, because this is what really Jesus said. He said, the things I did, no one else ever done them. That was what he said. All that he did, no one ever could do. He walked on the water. You see, he raised Lazarus. A man that was like tied, like possessed by demons, no one could help. Jesus did. You see, he opened the eyes. The lame walked. You see, paralyzed man. You see, dropped from the roof. So walking. A man paralyzed for 38 years. Jesus will just say, pick up your mat, walk. You see, all that Jesus did, the eyewitnesses were recorded to us so that we can believe that he is from God, he is from heaven. Are you certain of the things you have believed? The warning for us this morning is that if this salvation you have received that is based on these historical events and true revelation from God of his Son that brought us salvation. If we neglect it, that is what Hebrews say, Hebrews 2. If we neglect this, 2 verse 3. Let me read from verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience receives its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation, this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord himself, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. That is the warning. If we want to live a life that does not really fit the historical Jesus, and then how shall we escape really the punishment that from God, because God has invested so much in us by sending us his son. So whoever believes in him, believes that his sacrifice that Luke is introducing to us was to bring us right relationship with God, was to wipe out all our sins, was to make us a people God has created to have a purpose in life and to know why we were created and to be useful in God's world, to be his representative here on earth, to bring him glory. Or through our worship and praises, through our evangelistic endeavors, to let him know that this world has a creator and he sent his son Jesus Christ to open your eyes so that you can truly relate to your God. It is a serious thing. Christianity is declining in many places, especially in the Western world. And simply because many theologians are trying to invite us today to speak about Jesus, not as a historical Jesus. So they want us to see him as just one of the many references to God, way to God. Maybe they want to say Christ, we believe to be the center and the of everything. But more reason, some radical scholars have begun to push much further and to advocate what they call a theocentric theology of religion. That is to say, they want us to see God at the center of the religious universe, not Christ or Christianity. So that is what Christopher Wright, the successor of John Stott, wrote in his small book, What's So Unique About Jesus? Well, Luke is saying, Jesus is unique. And there is no salvation anywhere else. So lest you be tempted to look elsewhere, to listen to anyone else, you have an accurate account of the gospel, the good news, that God loves you so much and his heart is for you to be saved if you believe in the gospel. If you believe in the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus himself coming into this world. You see, so today Luke is introducing to us in a day like this, you see, his gospel, that he will tell us many stories. We can go on. You see the children coming so into the kingdom. Because his angle, and let me say this, Luke organized his materials. And then no wonder why he wrote it this way. Because when he finished it, what we encounter is Jesus who is for all. You see, and the Savior of the whole world. And so it is very important that we take this seriously. Because as we could see, we will be celebrating his birth very soon. But what a day today. You see, there is what really Luke was telling us, that Jesus, the historical Jesus, was going to go all the way to the cross, really to pay the price of your freedom, to be justified. And so as you come to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, you are celebrating an historical event that brought you salvation, that brought you right standing before God, and brought you the Holy Spirit, with which you can cry Abba Father, you can call God, you can call God the Father. You can thank him. You can know his love because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Have you believed this? Have you encountered this? Do you have experience of God? Because I have a friend who will always say, Christianity is not about information. It's experiencing the historical Christ in his word and in his life. You see, as we are united with him by faith, and so we are saved. You see, that is what he says. So to reveal Christ and to dispel the darkness. You see, the world was dark, and that is why you could see when Jesus was dying on the cross. So the darkness really fell at noontime. And the reason was like Jesus entered into darkness. You see, so darkness, we deserve ourselves. We were in darkness. And you see after that, when he gave it all, the sun shone. You see, and that is what it is. Because those who are saved are in darkness. And then Jesus came to bring us to the light. You see, and so you can be in a dark place at night, but you are in the light. You see, the world is dark, isn't it? We are in the world that is dark, but we are not of the world. We are children of the light. You see, so that you can be assured of this. So the purpose for Luke to write for us is so that we are certain. And that is the message today. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? Is it Jesus Luke is talking about, or is it another Jesus? Is it Jesus that you can change his words? You see, you can modify his words. When I was beginning to read the Bible as a young person, I was so serious to read to see, it's Jesus. Jesus doesn't want me to do this. It may be something I like so much. See, I would just think so much about this. Is that true? Okay, if that is true, then I need to pray for the Lord to help me really to believe. I'll give you more example. You see the body, he says, the Bible says, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I was smoking, ruining the temple. So one day I was just praying, Lord, I'm ruining the temple. But you said I should not ruin it. Okay, help me. He delivered me. It's wearing words, cleansing, sanctification. You see, competition. You see, people, proud people, you tend to compete, you see, and then he will just smash it out. Well, you are precious. You don't need to compete with anyone. I love you so much, and I have something for you. Luke didn't have to compete with anyone. Anyone, you don't have to compete, and that is only possible if you know the Spirit of Christ. And so many things. You see, sex before marriage. You see, competition at workplace. You want to manipulate events so that you can be promoted. You see, so you can give in into worldviews that are not of God. Same-sex marriages. You see, you say, oh, it's okay as long as there is love. Well, the love that has been defined in the gospel, you see, is different. It's not the love that people are talking about in the world. God has everything. His love is powerful. It's stronger than death itself. You see, the Bible says, so if he's looking for love, anywhere else will not satisfy. The love that God gives will satisfy you. And he has provided. He has provided. You see, male and female say, take wife, take husband. You see, before God, in the union that is before God. So who is Jesus to you? Is it this historical Jesus, or is it Jesus of the 21st century that you want to follow? You do church, even financially. You see, money, gambling. Can you gamble to have more money? When he says, I will look after you, I will provide. You see, is that the historical Jesus you follow? Do you need that? You see, being a Christian, following Christ, is so radical. And his Holy Spirit enables us. All that you need to do is to take this seriously. Not to neglect this salvation that has been bought for us by the precious blood of Jesus. These four verses, they are the prologues or the introduction of his gospel. So you can go out from this place today just to encounter in verse 5 the unfolding of the gospel, beginning with the voice of Christ himself, John the Baptist, his birth, and then his arrival himself. Today, I'm bringing to you the good news, the angel saying, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. As Luke was writing to you, everything is for you to believe so that you can have an intimate relationship with your God. All that is requires faith, repentance, activities that we do in the community. One of the things that we find so difficult is as pastors and preachers and Christians is when really the Word of God will say clearly what we ought to do, and we go on really doing what really has warned us not to do. That is so hard. And so today, you can think of what your situation. Is there anything that you need to repent of? Is there anything that you need to bring under the gospel, under the claims of Christ himself? It is very important that we do this, lest we are following a wrong Jesus. And following a wrong Jesus, there can never be joy. There can never be fresh presence of his Holy Spirit. There can never be peace and confidence in the provision of God. There can never be security in this life and even in life to come. Let me pray.